Hey folks, just to let you know that we discuss how heaven is depicted in popular media, so there are some spoilers for The Good Place Season 1 in this episode. Welcome to Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals write an entire film week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. My name is Freddie Wong. What?
This is a fun break.
What if we just iced Freddie out completely? Like, we just sat here and we didn't say anything. And we just made him do the entire podcast.
See how long it goes.
But my name is Freddie Wong. That over there is Will Campos not saying anything. And over there, Matt Arnold also weirdly not saying anything.
Hello. Actually, I like that. I like you introducing me.
You really?
Yeah.
It makes you feel like you exist
when
someone else acknowledges you. What if we all started introducing each other?
That's weird.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Like, that's Freddie Wong, and then you say, that's Matt Arnold, and Matt says, that's Will Campos.
No, we say something nice, like that's Freddie Wong, and he is a loyal friend, and I appreciate all of his hard work.
That's Will Campos, and he's a good guy who's dependable in any circumstance.
That's Matt Arnold, and he's a great father. You know, he's really doing it.
I'm feeling good, guys. I'm ready for this.
Wow.
We need it because we're very scared.
Has anybody come up with that before? Like talking to each other, like giving like
Has signs anyone of, come up with the concept of compliments before?
Compliments, like affirmation with each other? That's such a good we should start this like a
daily affirmations.
Daily affirmations.
Yeah.
All right. Scary, boys. We're scared because it's getting harder and harder to write this script. The script, of course, Heaven Heist, the story about a crew of criminals robbing the Celestial Bank of Heaven. Coco meets Point Break, meets Ocean's 11, meets Ocean's 12,
meets a walking CinemaSins article of logic holes and plot problems that
we'll worry about CinemaSins later.
You know what this is? This is like the three of us looked on our phones. We're like looking at like our total steps or something. We're like, guys, it's weird. Over the last like 2 years, I've walked 26 miles. You know what we should do? Let's just run a marathon. And like now we're at mile one. And it's been going pretty good because, like, you know, you just run. And now we're like, I don't know. Wait, how much?
I'm not
trained for this at all.
Come join us as we barrel forward into oblivion this week on Story Break. Let's begin episode 7, scene 7, rather.
You want to tell the audience what happened in scene 6 and me?
Basically, we had a bye week last week where Jin just meets his grandma and gets picked up from the airport. So I feel like we have to do a real scene this week.
No, it's another good scene, though, because he was surprised. And then he meets his grandma, and then you get like, she's like a kind of like a cool badass. And then you find out she's got work in heaven. It does some exposition, too.
Yeah.
We had a talking dog.
Then there's a talking dog. That's always a good way to save a scene that didn't have a whole lot going on dramatically. So Robert McKee does this thing where at the bottom of his note cards, he puts these two little sort of dashes pointing at each other. That's the symbol for conflict. Yeah. And then he has a plus minus for like the positive or negative exchange. What's the high status to low status in the scene? And I was thinking about like, what would the card for last week say? And it would just be a bunch of fucking question marks. Cause it's just like, there's like, all right, he went from being at the sidewalk to on the scooter. I guess there's a moment where he's like, oh man, is anyone going to pick me up?
Yeah. He went from nervous and lonely to having a grandma.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about this scene. Let's talk about where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
There were some interesting questions as well from the subreddit, which is really starting to fuck with my head. Just having the sort of Greek chorus of voices that are listening along as we write this, because it does make you think of shit you maybe wouldn't necessarily. But someone asked, I thought this was a good question, so I wanted to bring it up. Obviously, not everyone that has a near-death experience comes back with like this vision of heaven, right? So is there something specific that happens to Jin? Why does Jin remember?
He actually dies.
No, but a lot of people actually die. Again, their heart stops or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
And by the way, have you not heard of the myriad of near-death experiences of people being like, yeah, and I saw a light and I went through a tunnel? Yeah, people have experiences.
Next time you go to a bookstore, like, keep passing all the interesting books and then go all the way to the back where the Christian section is, and you'll find about 100 books that are about people who have near-death experiences, and then they saw heaven
and see the face of God.
See the face of God and stuff. So it happens.
Okay, so we're going to say that that's basically, and then everyone's like, Like, okay, yeah. And then you, okay.
That's like saying I watched Lord of the Rings and not everybody who has a ring lets them turn invisible. Like, this is a movie. he saw, got back and he remembered Seven. That's a good scene.
Will, really quick. This is not a documentary. Okay. This is a fiction movie, you know, where fiction happens.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay. That was my thing this week, but I guess we'll just move past that.
He's on the moped with his grandma and heading to the bank.
Yes, he's heading to the bank.
It feels like the next scene here is at the bank and him getting yanked back from the bank.
We need to start setting up the conflict in heaven that is going to start showing up in the movie once the heist starts.
Yes,
right?
Because again, we were trying to figure out when does he get pulled out of heaven and what happens right before that moment. We were talking about that heaven is a little different than he thought it was. Like, he was going to be a loser here, like with no money and not being able to do anything cool. Mm-hmm. Like, as you know, his grandma still rides a moped and still has to go to work, and his ancestors doesn't give them any money. So like, he doesn't even have his own money. She just like flips him a coin. She's like, oh, this is all I can afford right now. You know, you should be able to, you know, I don't know, maybe go on a tour of heaven or something like on that monorail. But that's, you know, you're gonna have to start working, Jin. And Jin's thing is that he wants to be his own man. He didn't want to depend on anybody. And now he finds himself even worse off in heaven in terms of like literally getting money from his grandma.
Oh, I see. That's interesting. Okay. So, yes, grandma is going to explain how heaven works in this scene as they're zooming around.
Yes.
And Jin is going to be like, it's going to be like, oh shit, heaven kind of sucks, essentially, right?
Yes.
So we've been floating around like what that is, right? Like, and how that works, right? But like, it is kind of funny that it's like you get to heaven and you're like, all right, great. So what do? We like hang out and play harps all day? And she's like, no, you got, I'm working right now. Yeah. Like, I'm on the clock. And then she swerves to the side of the road, and then she has like a magic like Uber bag of like, or like Grubhub bag that she like throws, like, you know, flawless, you know,
like
20 course meal out of. It'll be like, that'll be, you know, $4 million. And the guy throws her a coin, and she's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, you can go around and play with harps if you're like mega rich.
Yeah, you got harp money.
Yeah, I don't got harp money.
You think Graham's got harp money?
I'm still trying to get food money. You eat in heaven. You don't have to eat. It's not like we die. It's just, you know,
would you rather
good?
Yeah. It's like, would you
so
rather
you get
not
bored
eat?
If you don't eat? You could just sit here and not eat and do nothing.
You sit here, you do this. You can be like, yeah, you don't have to. You just sit here and like not eat and not sleep and just meditate like those losers over there to try and figure out, you know, what the next level is.
And she's like, oh yeah, so essentially it would be that. Like, it's like, yeah, I think they should drive by a park where a bunch of people are trying to attain enlightenment and go on to the next phase. And then like, that's probably all bullshit anyway.
It'll be fun is if she does that and one of them is like, ooh, my pizza.
Somebody should be like literally beginning to lift up, and then Jin's like, your shoes are tied. He looks at him like, what?
Your shoes are tied?
Your shoes are
tied. Hey, loser.
That's a weird thing to say. Oh, no, you distracted me. Shit.
Hey, loser, your Yeezys are tied. Everyone's got Yeezys in heaven. Here, hop on, Jin. Here's your complimentary set of Yeezys.
That's pretty good. That's a long game for Kanye. He's been advertising in heaven.
Oh, Freddie, do you realize that in heaven, so Freddie has had this scheme for a long time to write into a movie mint condition medieval madness pinball machine, because it's the greatest pinball machine of all time.
You'll find at some point in all of our scripts, at some point there'll be a line where it'll be like, in the corner sits a perfect new back glass medieval madness pinball machine. And like, why would you write that in? It's so specific. Because then I'll buy it from the production when we're done with it.
I was going to say, what kind of heaven wouldn't have
a medieval madness?
A whole row of medieval madness machines.
Maybe Jin's grandma gives him a coin for like something he needs. Like, you know, you're going to need to pay your, you know, I don't know, homeowners association fee in order to stay in the room or something
like that. Your sole owner association fees.
And then he comes back and she's like, where's my money? And he's like, oh, I bought this medieval madness machine.
I bought this mint condition medieval madness.
Okay. This pinball's dope.
With LED kit and color, multicolor backboard. Anyway, so it feels like it's a little bit of a tour. We get a sense of what she does. You get a sense of like, if you were to draw out the arc of like Jin's character, it feels like he's kind of like, oh cool, wow, heaven, I can't wait to see what it is. It's like dips when it's like, oh shit, it's gonna be shitty, and then kind of comes back up when it's like, oh wait, there's money, oh wow, look at all this money. And then he's
like, how do I get money? I don't want to sit around and do lame stuff. Like, and she's like, well buddy, there's two options. Either people start burning money for you, but you know, let's be honest, your brother's not the biggest fan of you and your mom's got none, or you start working. you know, and he's sitting there like, oh,
you become a delivery driver.
Yeah.
Like me.
Could you do, okay.
Is there an unemployment line? At, like, do you then cut to like the Heaven Docks and it's like a scene from like a Great Depression movie?
No, it feels like it feels like,
water like, come on.
On the waterfront.
Yeah, like, yeah. Come on.
It feels like Heaven has, I will say this, it feels like Heaven probably has a pretty good, if you want a job, you can get it, right? There's probably a lot of administrative work for human beings because, I mean, there's so many of us down here. I'm sure that it's like, oh, yeah, the low-level job is like essentially government employee in Heaven. Where it's like you have to be, you're like, you know, one of the sub angels doing paperwork.
What could be funny is you find out that he met, because again, we're like, oh, he met these angels on the way in, like working the ferry and working.
Yeah,
the thing.
Yeah.
You find out those are all humans that they just give little wings to.
Little halos.
So that like the people coming into Heaven don't get confused or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a little weird.
Okay. I figured out maybe how, because we were talking about that problem, like how do you also buy like he doesn't want to stay in Heaven and whatnot. And you also brought maybe we got to this time thing. Do a montage of he's in Heaven for like 4 years, like living in, like you do this montage where he's like at home on a, he sleeps on the floor with his grandma. He does this shitty job. He's like delivering pizzas and harps. And he's like, this is hell. Like, this is the worst thing ever. There's got to be a way out of here. Look at all these assholes in Heaven with money. I don't have money. This is worse than being alive. And then he gets zapped back, and it's been like a day. He's like, God,
you can explicitly.
It's horrible. And then he's like, I know where you can get money. But then it's like, make, if it's going to be about that, like, Heaven sucks, then like, make Heaven suck and then all dive right into the conceit of Heaven and totally do that. He's here for a long
I'm
time.
I'm very intrigued by the idea that he's in Heaven for like 100 years.
Oh, you know what's fun too is you can show him marking off time so that then when he comes back, you can have whatever it is. I mean, we have to figure that. To me, this is, I think, you put a pin in it. But then you can say, like, oh, I was there for 4 months. So you can have an exact, like,
yeah, exactly.
I know
like
how
Inception.
Long.
Like, then you also stretch out time in Heaven so the heist can be longer without them on Earth
back or whatever.
Yes. And then it's also like, I totally get why he's like, he's happy to get back. And then all the more reason. And then he's like, if I'm going to be there for eternity, I better be fucking loaded. Like, I'm not going to be a paper boy for eternity.
Okay. So that brings me back to another question, which is the idea of reincarnation and how that works. And what are we doing with reincarnation? Because wasn't there an idea at one point where like, if you run out of cash in Heaven, you can go get yourself reincarnated, like you can go back and try again. Like that was kind of part of the mechanic of it. Yeah.
So just thinking about reincarnation personally, like I just remember like thinking of the idea of reincarnation is like, was always kind of like interesting, kind of comforting, but it still felt like you were dying because it's not like when you're reincarnated, you like
remember all your
remember shit. Who you are. So kind of based off of like what your belief of consciousness is. Like if you told me like, oh yeah, when you die, you get reincarnated as a different person. I'm like, okay, so I'm dead. like I'm dead.
No, it's like a memory wipe. Like if you had amnesia tomorrow,
yeah, to me,
you wouldn't die.
Yeah, so that's how I would feel. Like if Dollhouse or whatever, like if somebody wiped my memory, I'd be like, myself is dead. Like I, like my view of consciousness, essentially we are a collection of our memories, right? Like, so like that
would
is
like,
which is why for me personally, Alzheimer's and stuff is like the most terrifying of all diseases. Cause I think it is essentially you are dying
like
slowly,
a slow death.
Like your actual consciousness.
Yeah.
Did you ask me the teleporter question?
Yeah.
I'm not touching a teleporter with a 10-foot fucking pole, dude.
Yeah. See, there you go. Right. Like the idea of like an interruption, right? An interruption.
Yeah, but there's a difference between like, no, but in reincarnation, like there's an explicit acknowledgement of a soul, right? Like in reincarnation, it's not just you died and then something else is born. In reincarnation, it's like your soul is transferred into a new thing, right? So like I would be willing, to me, like reincarnation, I'm like, oh, okay, so yes, like my memories, like all of that would go away, but some essence of myself would be born in something new, right?
Yeah, no, I get that. And it's just a matter of what Jin's thing is. Like for me personally, like I'm like, even if I believe in a soul, it's like there's no tangible, like I don't know what the soul is.
There's no
memories of who I am.
Yeah, there's no continuity.
Like I feel like Jin's the sort of person, if they told you, he's like, hey, if you don't like it, you can like, you know, I feel like for Jin in Heaven, being told he can be reincarnated is no different than like putting a bullet in his head. He's like,
it's a little fiddly. So that's, but we need to figure out what we're doing with reincarnation, right? Because it plays significantly into
or
the end
of
the movie.
Or alternately, do you just hold back on all of this and be like, no, there's no reincarnation. And there's reincarnation when maybe
reincarnation is something that's granted to you.
Yeah. Like if it's less of a,
oh, like you can go to like a court of appeals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, or like
to be like,
I guess who would want to be,
Okay, wait, unless you do it like this, hear me out. You do that, you do your time in hell to purify your soul, right? And then at the end of hell, you get reincarnated, right? Because mm-hmm. you're getting a second chance, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
In heaven, you have proven that you are a good enough person that if you figured your shit out, you could become enlightened and move on to the next thing, mm-hmm. right? So once you're in heaven, it's like a purgatory. You are there until you unlock the secret of enlightenment, right?
Yeah, you don't need to be reincarnated.
Lots of people are trapped in this heaven, essentially, for thousands, if not millions of years, because they are good, but they are not good enough to really, you know, like there's still some part of their ego that they are unwilling to let go of mm-hmm. to ascend to a higher level
and
of consciousness.
Not, and that
right?
ego is not bad enough to force them into hell. They're in that weird middle ground.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. They're not a bad person. They're not, in the sense that like, but they are good enough that they know enough that they know better. Deep down, they know better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And they should be able to, you know, transcend.
And they give you an appeal. Like you can do an appeal because like if you think about it as like a transaction, like there are like obviously reincarnation doesn't imply that everybody is a reincarnated person, right? So like every reincarnated person, they're like, all right, but like it's a pretty big deal. Like when we reincarnate somebody, that's giving away a spot for like a new soul. So like it's gotta be a valid reason for you to be reincarnated. We just don't give reincarnation willy-nilly. Otherwise, no new souls have a chance to go down on Earth, like sort of thing.
Oh, so we're getting new souls for a second, which is like a whole other can of worms.
Oh, we don't have to talk about new souls.
Okay. Huh?
Yeah, you know, like new soul, neo soul, like D'Angelo, like, you know.
I was gonna say, like, maybe you do there, but here essentially what I was saying is to sort of head off the pass with the reincarnation conversation with heaven is like you do in heaven, you made it to the next stage, right? So there is no more reincarnation, right? Like your next thing is figuring out how to get to ascend. Do you need mm-hmm. reincarnation in heaven in that version?
I don't think it's a problem to not have reincarnation in heaven. I like that if you're in hell and you essentially work your way through hell, you get a chance your soul essentially cleanses and there's a chance
for you
to do it again.
You're just back to zero. You got to go back again.
I don't think it's fiddly for Jin to be somebody like somebody's like, you know, if you don't like it, you can always be reincarnated. He's like, yeah, fuck that. I'm not doing that. Like, I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, I wouldn't want to be reincarnated. Like, I wouldn't want to lose myself. Like, it seems like a very Jin personality thing. And I think, like, you essentially are, as long as he clearly doesn't want it, like, I get it.
You either have to do that, you're stuck here, right? And you don't get reincarnated. Until you, there is no more reincarnation, right? Or you need to do that. There is some specific reason he doesn't want to do that, and then it doesn't seem like quite enough that it's like it just seems like that's such a philosophical reason that it feels kind of intangible to me. Like that is like, well, I wouldn't want to do that because it's like,
I guess it is. I mean, I guess I just I'm not me personally. If you're like he doesn't want a desk job or he doesn't want to get reincarnated, they're the same thing to me. Like it's very tangible. Like if you're like this guy doesn't want to be stuck in a desk job, it's like why? Because it's miserable. It's like you're somebody who has a strong sense of identity and believes and like wants to be rich and wants to be your own person. The idea of losing who you are is like that's the last thing I would want. Like if I was mm-hmm. Jin, I would not want like it's not. It's more to me. It's like the most. You're asking me like whether or not it's like valid for somebody not want to die. Like to me, being reincarnated and losing my memories is dying. So it's like there's nothing more tangible to me than
yeah. Because
Jin
you
being
don't.
Like, I don't want to die.
Personally,
I am
don't,
who I am.
Because you personally don't experience that continuity. If I said to you, Will, if there's an elixir, if you drink this, you'll forget everything you know about yourself.
Yeah, you have a headache right now. I got an option: either suffer that headache, or I could erase your entire memory, and you won't have a headache anymore. You'd be like, I'm like, it's not intangible. You don't want to erase your entire memory to not have a headache. It's like
yeah, you won't recognize any of your loved ones. You won't recognize your dog. Your dog won't recognize. Well, your dog will recognize you. You'll know what you're looking at. Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, Jin doesn't
want to die. Okay, all right. I think we're going to need to come up with a cinematic way of expressing that.
I think it should feel like the people who go to reincarnated have kind of given up. Like, or that's the way Jin would see it. These sad people who are like, because again, he's a hustler. He's like, he's not giving up. He's miserable in heaven, but he's not like, he's still
looking
trying
to play his position.
Yeah, he's still looking for a way to make it in heaven.
Yeah,
like, that's his
he's
thing.
He's got to be, there's some, okay. All right, this is a very weird movie. I think I just need to embrace that a little bit more than I have. Okay, so, all right. So it seems like this little bit here, you have a bit with the grandma that then kicks off this montage, mm-hmm. right? Because you can't go straight from what we had into a montage.
No, I think it's the idea he is told he has no money and he should probably get a job. And then you cut to what his life is,
yeah.
which is worse than what it was on Earth mm-hmm. in his mind. Because again, he cares, his mind, freedom and all this other stuff is what's most valuable.
Yeah,
and he can't really do anything in heaven. And then a lot of the shallow thrills aren't even like, don't even really exist in heaven. Mm-hmm. We're not really like gambling in the same way. Nothing's really illegal. Like, it's like, yeah, you're in heaven, you know. You can't even hurt each other because you're all just souls floating around or whatever.
It's like those sections in MMOs that are like, this is the main city. You can run around. There's no trolling, no griefing allowed. You're just like, what is the point? You can run around and you're just jumping around. And you just jump. You just run around and jump and you phase through things. You're like, that's it? You're like, well, but isn't this great? There's no pain. There's no death. There's
no
suffering.
How do I pull my gun out? You can't. I can't even. Gun. I can't. You remember like in Call of Duty, like you're walking around the cutscenes and then when you point the gun at one of your...
And puts it down.
It puts it down and the cursor turns green and you're like, what? Come on. Let me play my game. Okay. Like, I knew what's up. You could shoot an Italian in the cell and then the level would just end. He's like, what did you do? You died. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are trapped anyways.
So yes, I think the Jin is looking around. Heaven looks pretty cool. He's like, you know, so what do we do?
It's like the Harry Potter scene where he goes to his bank, right? It's like she picks up her, just like Hagrid gets his thing, and it's like, now let's go get your money. It's like she goes to the bank, and she's like, they open up the bank, and she has like two coins in there. She's like, looks like it's gonna be a long winter or whatever.
Do bad things happen in heaven? Can people get in fights? Can people have sex? Can people drink? Right? How does that work?
So to me, the answer is no.
So no. So
to me, it's like,
what happens if I try to do something bad? If I try to start a fight with someone or if I try to,
I think there's like anti-trolling measures, so to speak, right? It's like, you can't punch someone.
You have to be careful with that because then it's,
no, because at a certain point, because you can't just come, here's the thing though, but you can't just come into heaven. I know what you're saying, because obviously they're about to do bad things. It doesn't make sense to me if it's like heaven and there's one belligerent asshole, because everyone would be like, well, what's this guy doing here?
Well, you'd probably kick him out.
Could you get kicked out of heaven?
Yes. I mean, we're definitely saying you can go be sent to hell, I think, if you start doing bad stuff in heaven.
Okay, so and that is like...
So your karmic balance still stays with you.
Or, I mean, they don't, like, rescale you or whatever. It's just you can definitely break rules and be sent out of heaven.
You know what it is? They can throw you in heaven jail. They can put you on timeout.
Oh, what's heaven jail called? It's called hell. What do you mean?
No, I think time out. Kicked down to the fucking...
Yes, you don't instantly get... Yes, it's not like one strike and you go to hell. Yes, the idea that there's a heaven jail is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Like Disneyland jail. And then
Disneyland jail.
Yes, and then if you do enough, you do go to real jail.
You will
eventually
be banned from Disneyland.
It's not like there's not a real jail option in Disneyland.
But what can you do to someone in heaven? You could...
Okay, so again, all right.
Stealing is up there, right? Because there's still the idea of like possession.
Yeah, you can't.
So there's rules,
stuff,
right? Yeah, there are rules, you know. Now, are these rules set up by heaven or are they set up by the people who live in heaven?
I feel like it's set up by heaven. I don't think we have like a democratic system and like votes and stuff. I feel like...
I like that it's set up by the people.
Yeah, because what I was going to say is that, like, I think in the original sense of how God or the creator of the universe intended this place, again, I like that it was supposed to be this empty white space where you contemplated the nature of existence until you ascended, right? Because in a Buddhist sense, like, suffering, like, is man. Like, that's our attachments, our desires, our
this
thing.
Is a world that would have
theoretically corrupted it.
Well, yeah, this is a world that theoretically removed suffering.
Yeah, so, but basically, it seems like if the point of this place is to, like, you know, work through your shit to where you can kind of, like, realize the truth of the universe, it feels weird that they would have these rules, that heaven would be, like, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. Do you know what I mean?
No, I like the idea. I mean, I don't think it'd be weird in the same way that you can go on a retreat and, like, you know, it's all for that same purpose. Like, there's still rules of the retreat. Like, if you slap somebody on the back of the head, if I kick you out of the retreat, it's still a place set up for self-enlightenment and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's enforced by the people.
I do think it's interesting. Well, yes, there is somebody who runs the retreat, who, you know, the head priest or whatever. So I was gonna say, like, you know, there's a God figure, but I think it's more what you guys were getting. I think it's interesting that this wasn't meant to be this like human society just like Hong Kong. It was supposed to be a place that you came and you meditated and eventually reached enlightenment, but people are people, and once a lot of people got up here, like, you know, some people didn't make it to alignments, like, okay, what are we gonna do while we're sitting around here?
Right.
And then they essentially form their own, you know, human civilization government here. Mm-hmm. Like, the people who would make the rules are sitting up there enlightened. They don't care what's going on down there. Like, you know, God and whatever the almighty being or consciousness is up in wherever the enlightened people are, waiting for his, you know, waiting for the souls to come up, you know, and join them.
That said, you need, for our story, you need stakes in terms of like that hell, that they, if they get caught, they're going to go to hell, right? Like, that's like a lodestone of what we've talked about as being the central idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why my initial instinct was that there was, again, kind of just depends on what you do with it. To me, it's not weird. Like, to me, the cleanest not having to answer stuff, especially buying into what people understand about heaven. Like, again, we've seen lots of movies where heaven is essentially some version of human civilization, from The Good Place to Heaven Can Wait to
What Dreams May Come.
What Dreams May Come, et cetera, et cetera. And in all those, like,
and
there
it's,
is.
And it's porno spinoff, Wet Dreams May Come.
Okay.
And all of those, the rules are by some omniscient thing, because that is what human beings understand as religion. Like, mm-hmm. it's not weird that in The Good Place, like, there's a person who runs the town,
you're
but
right.
there is God. Like, there is a bigger
yeah,
thing.
You're
so, like,
right.
the idea that there are just rules in heaven, like, I'm not like, why are the rules in heaven? Like, who
so
made
really
those
quick,
rules?
How does
I'm
Good
like,
Place,
God made the rules.
How does Good Place solve it? Well, okay, so.
He has a boss. Like, he's in charge of his town.
I mean, but to be fair, I mean, also, spoilers for The Good Place, but it's not heaven that he's in.
Yes.
So
they actually they sidestep this question. Because,
but then he still has a boss. Hell works like...
No, no, I know, but I'm saying they sidestep the question of, well, can you do bad things in heaven because it's not actually heaven, right?
I mean, the way they do it is, like, there's not, quote-unquote, inherent rules, but there are rules, because when somebody starts doing bad things or there's a bad person in there, the town starts going crazy. So they're like, oh.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
they
start
like,
right.
like the
it breaks the rule. Something gets fucked
breaks.
Up. Yeah, you're
yes.
right. You're right. You're right.
And they're out of his control, like the guy who makes
right,
the town, which
right,
implies
right,
that,
right.
again, there is a bigger, there's a, like, it's not
there's
weird.
A bigger order.
Yeah, there's an
play.
Order of things.
Man, that's a man smart.
Yeah.
Well done, Good Place.
I don't know what Defend Your Life is, but I'm assuming there's, like, corporate system in there.
Does he try to fuck things up at any point? I assume not.
No, but in Defending Your Life, it is essentially a court,
yeah.
right? But there's no, like, you can't do this, you can't do that. You can pretty much do whatever you want while you're waiting around.
You're
not going to be
being,
able to kill somebody because yeah. you're already dead. But, like, the it's not like, again, like, there's a big thing, like, you know, Meryl Streep wants to sleep with him, right? Oh. And then he's too scared to he's, you know, because he's afraid of rejection and all this stuff. Like, but they, it's not like they have like a Ten Commandments or something like that. Like, you can't uh-huh. do this, you can't do that, you can't do this.
Uh-huh.
So, like, this is, again, because I think you're right that you need to, this is where you're going to establish that, like, right? Like, however the rules work in heaven and, like, what the rules are. So, like, you're building this context that Jin is going to be miserable in. So, like, I'm just trying to.
If there are rules, it seems like it should be, because I'm like, okay, like, what, they, like, vote? There's like a heaven. Mayor, and then they decide what happens there. Like, to me, it makes sense that, like, you would there's be a big heaven, like fucking terms of agreement of heaven, being like, if you do these things, like, you're gonna be sent to the first level of hell because you're not supposed to be doing those things in heaven. Like, don't be rude to each other. Like, don't be rude, don't steal.
Yeah, because,
like,
you need to set that up so that they know what they're going up against.
Also, it's not like it's hard to understand what those are. Like, all religions, essentially, the Ten Commandments, outside of the specifics of, like, false idols, are essentially universal commandments. All religions have the same things, which are don't kill, don't steal, don't disrespect your parents and your ancestors. Like, morality is pretty similar across the board. Like, they're all, like, the basic rules are
right.
are the same. Like, you more or less know what not to do.
I guess here's what the only thing I was gonna say, like, is the, okay, this is getting very heady and I apologize. Mm-hmm. Is the morality, like, don't, in like a, is it an Old Testament type thing where it's like, don't do these things because God says they're bad and you will anger God and he will punish you? Or, like, in, again, like, in with the Four Noble Truths, that's Buddha laying down, like, he's just like, look, this is the way to have a life that is free from suffering. Like, it's more about, like, the it's
for your own good.
It's more advice than it is, yeah, like, you know, like a top down dictatorial edict from God. You know what I mean? He's saying that, like, if you live well, you will have a good life. You know what I mean? Like, that's essentially more the philosophy.
Yeah, Buddha's not sitting there being like, or Buddha will
or Buddha's
kick
gonna
your ass.
Kick your ass.
But
you do this.
No, yeah, well, he's not gonna kick. But is there hell?
Yeah, but it's all about karma, right? In Eastern philosophy, it's about. You have a sliding scale, and if you do bad things, it comes around to you, and you right.
Like, but then how do you go to hell?
It's you've accumulated too many bad things. You
yeah, I mean, so again,
off.
To me, it's like it's
yeah.
A,
that implies that
it,
there is.
If it was a game, it's like the mechanism's different, but the end result is yes. One is saying God picks you up and throws you into hell. The other one is your soul is corrupted and you don't have the ability to enter into the domain of heaven, so you end up in hell. The other one's like they're different philosophies, and not to like you know not to
no because you're not, right because
but,
if there's
and then also
if
we have
there's,
to
yeah,
deal
you're
with
right,
how
right.
we are structuring it. We are not doing the Buddha world. We are doing a civil.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because by definition, if
like
there's
a
possibility of going
of
hell, to hell,
yes.
then there is by definition some sort of authority that can throw
like, to me,
you
we're
down.
Kind of asking whether or not a cop picks you up and throws you into hell,
yeah,
or if you do something wrong, Jin starts fading away and you know just drops into
okay,
hell.
Okay, well, that's
something.
An important distinction. So, because it has impact on the plot. So, what is it? Is it that there's cops? Like, are there.
Angels.
And then there's also, like, in terms of level of omnipotence, like you were talking about, like the Call of Duty thing where you literally can't shoot somebody or you can't have sex or whatever, right? But then I'm also like, it feels, let's put sex aside because I'm like, I don't understand what the moral judgment of that is. But the, like, you know, whatever we're deeming the bad stuff is it that people in heaven can't do that stuff? Or is it that if they get caught, they will get punished for doing
that? I think since we're doing a heist, out of practicality, it should be if they get caught. I think if they can't do it, there's no movie.
If it's you can't do it, you have to be like, okay, they have to figure out how to turn off that thing, which is, I think, less interesting and less heist-like than there's people after you. You got to be careful. There's an eye up here that you got to be careful of. I think that's more heist crime movie.
Yes, and I think to play into the conceit, it's definitely most fun if there are, like, you could do cops, but it feels more, again, if you're going to do cops, then, like, isn't it more fun if they're, like, angelic creatures
okay,
of some
so
sort?
Yes,
not
there are
angelic hordes.
Yeah, not saying literally angels because that's, like, Christian, but, like, heavenly beings or souls or you know, things or
okay,
whatever.
So there are rules in heaven that are decided by whatever the powers that be that are in heaven,
yes,
right?
Right.
And the rules are, hey, don't do this stuff because it essentially would be this. So it'd be like doing this stuff distracts you from enlightenment.
And it corrupts your soul.
And it corrupts your soul. You know, like you do these kind of actions, you know, like they're against the purpose of heaven, of where you are. Right.
Right.
Which is feeling more like a purgatory than in heaven. But like it's definitely have more.
Not to be fair, a lot of Eastern philosophy ends up being purgatory adjacent because it's like, yeah, you're free from suffering. Like, well, so how much more do you want?
It's you're here hungry. To grow closer to to God, essentially. Right. To the universe. And so like they're OK. So these are the things that like we, you know, just sort of like, you know, like you don't do these things because you're not only are you, you know, distracting yourself from the purpose of why you're here, you are making it harder for others, right?
Right. Right, right.
So
and they make a joke. It's like, you know, obviously we don't. It's almost like redundant for us to have the rules up there. Like if you're here, you're like, I understand. You're not supposed to steal.
You get it, right?
You get
like,
it.
Uh huh.
What like are those rules? And then how would that shape the society that we're in? Essentially, right?
Do not impede others on their path.
Okay.
Right. I'm thinking about like trying to be as general as possible. It's not like, right. Like that's basically a no-no, right? It's like you can't get in someone's face and just be screaming at them all day, every day.
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't say no
respect
killing.
Respect people's property, right? And the idea of like, you know, it's like their stuff, whatever it is still like, you know, brings them joy. So
no stealing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No stealing is definitely on that list,
okay.
Right?
Once you have your money, can you do pretty much with it what you want? Couple things leap out of me. Is there a list of banned vices, so to speak? Do you know what I mean?
I think it's one where...
Or is that like a little too you're interfering? Is it like more or less laissez-faire, like in terms of what you're doing?
I think it's laissez-faire as long as you don't affect other people, right? It's like a very weirdly libertarian, like, you know, it's like, yeah, you can do whatever you want, but the moment that it gets in the way of other people, or if it affects other people's, like, you know, sort of enjoyment or their sort of thing negatively, that's no good. Right. Mm-hmm. To me, that's pretty obvious. It's like, because again, you're in each soul is an individual path to enlightenment towards nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
And you, whatever it is, you cannot get in that way. And maybe, right, your path might take you to, you must realize that material things are not important, or like objects or attachment to things is part of the things you need to let go of. But that's not on me to be like, I got to take away all your stuff to prove it to you. That's on you and your own.
You
time.
Have to be, if anything, you have to experience having it so that, again, it's like you give it up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, it's a very like, stay in your lane kind of rule set. And it really is. Don't fuck with other people.
Okay. No stealing, no fighting, let's say, or no fucking with other people. We'll get to that. No impersonating an angel.
Yeah.
That feels like, you know,
I like that as like a very specific rule.
And it's like, you're like, that's a rule that you're like, oh, that rule exists because someone did it. Someone
Some
worked out a scheme
did it
that,
once.
I feel like you can really bring it down to like, it literally says like, cause no suffering, no impersonating an angel. It's like, those are the only two rules. It's like, God, that's pretty vague. It's like, just don't. You know, don't be an asshole.
Cause no suffering.
It's
good.
Like
I
very
like
specific. Like it's like you kind of get because it also. Like,
I was gonna say that because I want to. Yes, I want to keep this with the rules simple too. I would like one of the rules to explicitly be no stealing.
Oh yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like the like don't steal from the other people in heaven.
Cause no suffering. That seems pretty vague. Just don't be an asshole, Jen. It's pretty easy. Two, don't impersonate an angel, and no stealing. That one is very specific. We just want to make sure you don't steal.
I buy that. It would start with. Like, right. Imagine the way
we
that
added
this,
that one once all the internet pirates came up because they started saying there was no victim of their crime. We're like, OK, like, all right, no suffering. Fine. Specifically, no stealing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like it started with cause no suffering. You're like, oh, that's very high minded of them. And then like one guy's like, hold on, if I'm an angel, everyone. I was like, oh my God, no impersonating angels. And then one guy was like, hold on. If I could just like take all this,
isn't material good causing people suffering in its own way?
Therefore,
I am liberating them from their suffering by stealing their goods.
No stealing. Yeah. And then when we're all said and done, I'm sure there'll be a fourth one that Jin and his guys will be responsible for.
Yeah, it's like have nice. It's like this is why we can't have nice things. Like just play by the rules. We only need one rule in the first place, and somebody's always trying to, you know what the rule means. You understand. We all get what this rule means. Don't be an asshole. Don't try to find the loophole.
And to be frank, if you need the clarification, you probably don't belong here.
Yeah, yeah. Very simple.
No stealing, no impersonating an angel.
Cause no suffering. Because heaven is essentially our world of no suffering. Like that's kind of like the benefit. Like, yeah, it might be like you may not have your job.
But if you have free will, you can cause it.
No suffering's pretty wide. Like that's more like,
yeah.
But like you can cause someone suffering by being annoying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like,
are you gonna go to hell if you were annoying to someone?
No, because in the same way you're not gonna get thrown right in the clink for jaywalking. It's more just like suffering can range. It's one thing to be like you poking them being annoying and it's like, hey, come on. And you're like, okay, you're right.
Suffering's a term that also implies like it's suffering. It's not like annoyance. Like suffering. Again, it's like they get it. Like if you're being annoying and a person asks you to stop, in heaven you would stop.
But if you kept on going until the point where they were like losing their mind, now you're causing suffering.
Jin would start being less like suffering's pretty prized. Like you get what it means though, right?
Why are you, but you understand like the principle of it. I don't need to explain. The grandma's like, do I need to explain? Don't be an asshole to you.
Like we're in heaven, Jin. Like it's pretty simple.
You got here. You probably know what that means. Yeah.
And then yes, in terms of the rules that we specifically need, these two are very clearly two things they are 100% going to break. There's no, there's no vagueness. Don't impersonate an angel and don't steal.
Yeah. And then we can go back and add a rule or two at this scene if we need to. Like, because I know at one point when we were talking about, because there's that very specific, like one of the things that can get you into hell is like. Causing a rift in the order of monks or whatever, like, and then we were going to have like, or like, you know what I mean? Like causing a disagreement between like, you're starting shit within the fraternity of monks. And then it says his brother was going to be a monk. We're going to like, they do that.
That was the thing that got you to like the ninth level.
That was the worst sin you could do. So, oh my God, I hate world building so much. Okay. So there, we got the three rules and then pretty much anything else, you're good to go. Right. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
I think you could do something that could be kind of fun is you don't do that. You can't drink. You just do that in heaven. Your body is a temple, right? So you can't get drunk.
Yes.
You can drink as much booze as you want, but you're not going to get wasted. You can smoke weed. You can do whatever, but it's not going to have any effect on you other than enjoying the taste of it.
Yes.
Which in and of itself is a carnal, earthly pleasure that you'll need to transcend, but
yes,
you'll get there.
But yeah. So the grandma, okay, so what do you need money for in heaven?
Cool stuff.
Okay.
Like the liquor.
Housing.
Yes.
So, and you need to, so basically if you want to live in an apartment as opposed to sleeping out in the street, right, you need money to do that.
Yes.
Because someone owns a building somehow that they charge rent for because they need money to buy the creature comforts of Earth.
Food. They always wanted to feel what it feels like to drive a Lamborghini, and the guy, you know, there's some Lamborghinis
Someone who has his Lamborghini is selling it.
Yes.
You know, so that he can, you know, do X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And then you have this constant influx of money coming in from people burning Joss paper on Earth.
Yes.
So,
but also more souls show up. So supply is never, again, there's always demand for new goods. And also as people get older, their ancestors stop, you know, again, becomes less and less stuff is burned for individuals. So that's like, you know, not to try to explain how you get into the closed system economy. I don't think we need to get into that, but there is want for various items. And in order to do that, you got to spend money or barter.
Okay, so essentially we take our materialism into heaven with us.
Yes.
And that is essentially
something
why
we got to let go of eventually. But
okay.
Yeah.
Jin's grandma is driving around. She's driving him towards the bank because she's got to pick up her money and she's got her job, right?
Yes.
So, like, what is she working for? What gets her up in the morning, right? Like, so obviously she's not someone who's trying to attain enlightenment. She's not out doing Tai Chi in the park. She's
trying to get a dope flat screen.
Yeah, so, like, what to her is, like, you know, what is her worldview here about heaven? You know, because that's essentially what she's going to impart onto Jin.
Uh-huh.
You could maybe do that. again, maybe she has like a very simple, comfortable life that she just wants to maintain. Like, again, and maybe a little bit of her character is kind of an element of one reason she's not gained enlightenment is that she's kind of holding on to her past life. Like, you know, she has rent and the place she's bought is very similar to her old home, and she likes.
Yeah, I like the idea that she is caught up on the stuff she left behind on Earth. Do you know what I mean? Like, she doesn't feel like she can pass on until she knows that her family back on Earth is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? But you're never going to know they're okay, right? Because that's the way being a human being works. And then, you know, God help you if they have a kid, you know, then you're going to be worried about their grand. It is essentially, what is she holding? Yes, again, it's what is she holding on to, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe she has been watching him from on high or something like that.
I feel like she has to pay rent. Otherwise, you know, somebody else can take her apartment.
But again, she could sleep out on the street if she wanted to.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But why doesn't she want to?
Because she's not let go of the material plane yet.
Okay. Yeah,
the material comforts.
It'd feel weird to her. She's like, it's like, I mean, I guess I could sleep on the street. But
she has pride.
Weird.
I'm not homeless. I'm going to have a nice place.
Okay.
And I'm going to save up for this flat screen TV to watch my stories.
Yeah,
I got interrupted when.
I don't want people watching me sleep. That's weird. I want to do sleep out on the street. I'm not one of those people out there.
Yeah, she has to let go of it. She hasn't let go of it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the extra cash, she likes angel gliding. It's like a pretty cool thrill she likes to do. And
cloud ball.
And there's, again, her favorite food when she was back on Earth was like, I don't know, some dish that she likes. And that's like pretty much what she does. Like the way her job works is like pretty much once a week she gets to go and have some good food. Like that's what she enjoys. And that's kind of her life. And she's okay with it. And she reads a lot. Maybe she buys books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
I'm going to read every book that was ever written.
Yeah.
They're going to read. You're going to watch all the TV shows and movies.
I got a lot of TV to catch up on. That's fun.
That's why she wants to get a big old flat screen.
I got a lot of stuff to do before I, you know,
start even thinking about
enlightenment. Yeah. Okay. She's not ready to let go of her ego yet.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does Jin want? Jin wants to understand what's going on. Like he wants to learn more about
it. He's
going to
ask
right?
about the job because that's the one thing that immediately sticks out as out of place.
He just got here. No one's explained anything to
exactly.
him, right? And then she needs to, or what does she want? She needs to get him up to speed. So that and she's trying to, I don't know, like, does she have some angles? She's trying to convince him to start working for her or something like that.
Could be that. Yeah. It could be like, oh, this is great. You can take a shift too. And you know, you can stay at my place and you know.
Yes. I mean, I think she wants him. She wants to acclimate Jin to heaven.
Okay.
Like that's what she is doing. Like her grandson is here and she's got to go to work, but she also, you know, she's being a good grandma and is getting Jin.
Yeah. And
up
he's,
to speed.
Yes. She is responsible for him. So she wants him to know what's going on so that,
yeah,
they can, so that he can fucking get with the program and start pulling his weight.
Makes sense. He's one of the few people from the family who's even shown up. You know, she looks around and sees all kinds of
maybe she sees family units
working together and living in compounds in the sort of very old traditional Chinese sense.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably a little excited that her grandson's here.
I like that he has to work for her, actually.
Yeah.
I like that, he's like, this is great. You know, we can, you know, like, I'll fucking be able to.
With two incomes, we'll be able to, yeah.
Yeah, I can expand my business to a second moped. You know, like we can make more money so that, you know, I can finally buy the next season of, you know,
or bigger TV or whatever.
Or bigger TV. Whatever. Right.
Yes. It's very straightforward for her to be like, you can work for me.
And I like that she sees an opportunity in him being here.
Oh, 100%.
At any rate, she is going to convince him to do this. Right. Because he realizes that the only other alternative is.
She gives him what the ultimatum
is. You just sit here and do nothing.
Yeah, she gives him what the ultimatum is. You can either jump, you can either go to hell, try to sit there and reach alignment, or play by the rules and try to make a decent living here.
Oh, you know what would be fun is you do that. You could also do like he's like, well, why don't I just go try to do the other thing? Like, I don't want to fucking do this. It's just like everyone who gets to heaven, like the first thing they do is they spend a couple hundred years trying to figure out the secret to enlightenment. And then eventually
you
just give up.
Let me give you a shortcut
now. You can get a head start now and the next 500 years to go easier. Right. I was like, yeah, I did the same thing. I was in the park doing Tai Chi every day trying to crack the riddle. And then I realized eventually you get bored. Yeah, I feel like you want to get to a moment where Jin is like, hold the fucking phone. I'm not going to be your delivery boy for 1,000 years. Come on, that sucks ass. And she's like, well, would you rather be my delivery boy, make a little cash and have some fun? Or do you want to sit in the park with those guys? And he looks at them and he sits in the park. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's literally what I was saying. The last moment. It's like, that's the ultimatum she gives them. It's like, these are your options.
Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm really glad you're here.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I can barely make enough deliveries on this thing on my own, but with two of us, boy, we'll be able to cover half the city.
And he's like, why you run a moped business like in heaven? It's like, yeah, what do you think? You think everything comes for free here, Jen? It's going to be great. I'm trying to get this big screen TV with you and me. Like, we'll be able to, like, I feel like you come in and she's
her already mid-hustle.
Okay, yeah. So then
mid-sales
pitch. So she's trying to sell him on this, and then he is going to respond by asking why they even need
yes,
money.
Yes, the top of the scene states what the stake of the scene is, which she is excited and saying, you're going to work for me.
Okay, yes, like, What is going on? You need to make money in heaven?
Yeah.
He's like, of course you need to make money in heaven. You know, like
there's only two ways of making money up here. It's either gets burned to you by either you earn it with hard work or it gets
you
burned
earn it
up
or you
here.
Burn it. Yeah.
You earn
yeah.
it or you burn it. And it's like, and you got no one. And like, believe me, I've been watching. You got no one down there going to burn it up.
Yeah,
for
you earn it or they burn it.
you earn it or they burn it. Yeah. I like that. Okay. I think she has to get to, like, at least at the fundamental, like, listen, this ain't the land of milk and honey up here. This is basically, you know,
pretty similar to what you just came from.
Or rather, we need to, lay out the, like, you don't get hungry. You don't, like, this is, you know, like, this place wasn't built, you know, to, like, this, or we need to get, what is the point of this place, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to to work backwards for a second. This is going to get to Jin being like, you know, like, hey, you know, all due respect, Grandma, but I'm nobody's, you know, errand boy. Slinging chicken chow mein for you for, you know, the next 1,000 years isn't my idea of heaven, you know?
Yeah.
We can make it like an actual Chinese thing.
Slinging Hainan chicken.
Well, then good luck with enlightenment. And she drives off and he
looks. Oh, yeah, there'll be that stop. It's like, well, if it's like, fine, if you don't want it, you can go try your hand at enlightenment. Like those fools over there. It's a bunch of people
and
in
then
the park.
She drives off and he looks and they're there. He's like,
and then you
Grandma,
just
wait.
No, you just do the look and then the Odd Couple music starts playing. Yeah. And then like you just do like there's a ring at her door and she opens it and it's him and she just lets him in. And then you do like a little Odd Couple montage of him living with his grandma and shit. Do you do like they pull up to like, is there like a big mural painted that can at least show what heaven used to be like, you know, or something like that? She can like kind of gesture to it. It's like back when they started this place, there wasn't much here other than trees and rocks and, you know, and a temple to meditate in, you know. A serene place for, you know, you to reach enlightenment.
And some genius started burning that Joss paper and the whole thing changed. And the next mural's like, the heaven. And people are hanging out with Lamborghinis and shit. And that's when heaven got cool as hell. So to be honest, it's pretty boring. It's pretty much you sat up here until you got enlightenment.
Yeah,
and then,
she shows up. It's like, yeah, originally there was nothing here. Just a single lake and a tree to contemplate. Kind of like Buddha did. It's like, sounds boring. It's like, that's what we thought.
Some brilliant person back on Earth started sending stuff up to heaven.
Some genius felt bad for their dead ancestors.
And then they pass by the mural and then Lamborghini. And then it's like, then
you
we
know,
got this.
The mural's there. And as I drive by, it's just like fucking Lambo dealers.
Exactly.
Like, it's like a row.
And then we got this. And then there's just like
okay,
the best
I part. Like that heaven you would do that. Like heaven used to just be, you know, a lake to look at, a rock to sit on, and a tree to rest under. Right, like it was like a rock and a tree and a lake, right?
It's like the Majora's Mask ending.
I don't remember.
This is a big, beautiful tree.
So you do. That's all it was. But then you do like that. Those are the three resources that allowed them to build this place. You know what I mean? Like people got bored, and then they started chopping the tree. Every time you chop the tree down, it would grow back, right? And every time you smash the rock, there'd be another rock there, right? So then from those three things, from the tree, the rock, and the thing, like, you know, heaven was built.
Oh, all the people who are seeking enlightenment is like now that little part is cordoned off with like a fence, like a little park. And there's still the tree, the rock, and the lake. It's like, that's the center of heaven. It's like, that's what heaven used to be. It was just that. And that's where the people that go for enlightenment still go. But then there's this massive city built around it.
Okay. Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm really glad you're here. With you and me both making deliveries, we can double our profits.
Profits.
English, please.
In English, please. All right. So Jin's like, well, I was like, we can really double our profits. Profits? What are you talking about?
What do you need money for?
What you need money for? I thought this was heaven. Jin's starting to sound like a Luke Skywalker asking questions.
Oh, it works. Also, it's first draft. Death Star, Obi-Wan Kenobi, girls, prom. Lightsabers?
That's
Luke Skywalker.
One of the authors on Twitter was just like the as you know exposition, which is like you have a character explain to someone's like, well, as you know, and then you just explain it right there. Yeah. But you use the phrase as you know as a way of being like, well, yeah.
It's how you make James Bond not look dumb by not knowing something. He's like, as you know, 007. What do you need money for? Gamer gives a wry chuckle. What do you need to buy?
What do you not need it for?
Food, money, gas, TVs.
Otherwise, it's boring as hell up here.
Yeah, what do you not need it for?
Before there was money, heaven was, and then it's the
Oh, yeah. What do you not need it for?
Babes.
Indulging our sexual pleasures.
Food.
Sex butler robots. Sex butler robots, right? S-E-X-B-U-T-L. Will, why are you not writing this
sex
down?
Sex gas station attendant robots.
Sex butler robots. That's my band name.
Sex butler robots.
Oh, we're
love,
sex-
death, and sex butler robots.
We're sex butler robots, and we're here to serve you and service you.
Last screen TV, that's what I'm working for.
I'm saving
I want Ashton Kutcher to be life-size.
I'm saving up for a big flat screen. I want my Ashton Kutcher.
I want my Ashton life-size, baby. I want to touch his butt.
Hey, where
you're weird,
go?
Grandma.
You're weird, Grandma.
But, like, it's heaven. What are you talking about?
I thought heaven was going to be more like, what, that thing? It was back in the day before sex butler robots.
It's not exactly
out.
What I had in mind. When, yeah. Like what? Like that.
He points to a life-size sex butler robot standing in the corner.
She's like, yeah, well, you can get one. That's what I'm saying. We got Ernie. Like, all right, Graham.
All right, I'm in.
I'm in.
That's why he wants to steal all the money so that he can afford a life-size sex butler robot.
Is she going
to
make a food delivery here? Because, by the way, you can just do the thing where it's like they
you
drive
transition,
off and
like
cuts
the,
to
the
her,
conversation
like,
continues as she's delivering food.
Oh, you know what? Actually, we'll do that. I want my life-size Ashton Kutcher. I want to touch him. They pull up to an apartment building
or
and she
just
rings
cut,
the
you,
doorbell.
You would cut to she is delivering food and he's like behind her. And he's like, I don't,
oh, yeah,
this
you know,
isn't what I was expecting.
Food, rent, entertainment. And it cuts to her delivering it. She's counting her money. It's like, I'm saving up for a big screen TV. I want my Ashton Kutcher life-size. I want to touch him. The person she delivers food to. Ooh, us too. Yes, we both love Ashton Kutcher. You talking about A Kutch? A plus K? And his buttocks?
It's just you. There's just a huge mural in it. There's just a huge billboard in heaven that's like the national debt clock, but it's like the T minus till Ashton Kutcher's death clock. It's like only another 50 years to go. Back in the day, all this place was a tree to sit under.
A rock to sit on, and a river to poop in.
and a lake to stare at.
Well, oh, yeah, there's still poop in heaven, by the way.
By the way, we still poop up here.
not pee, it's weird.
No pee, just poop.
Outback Steakhouse, no pee,
no
just
pee.
Poop.
Just poop. Well, you going to get blooming onion. We guarantee you here at Outback Steakhouse, we don't need no urinals. You get blooming onion, you'll just poop it right out. No pee, just poop here at Outback. Try on you 12-ounce ribeye special with a baked potato.
And a roll of toilet paper,
and a roll of toilet paper,
you're
going to
need it.
You're going to need it. You're going to need it for the backside. Nothing out the front, though.
You're going to need it down under.
You're going to need it down under. Nothing out the front, though. It's going to be dry as the Outback.
Shin, what's heaven like? It's a lot of Lamborghini sex robots and poop. It's pretty weird up there. I'll tell you what. I didn't die to sit on a rock. I died to sit on Ashton Kutcher's face. Grandma. Stop.
What? I can be as thirsty as I want. It's heaven, baby. And your grandma thirsty.
Jen, you need to do when they're.
It's turned into a fucking Adam Sandler movie.
You need to do when they're down on Earth. At one point, he does bump into Ashton Kutcher. He's like, dude, whatever you do, don't die.
Don't go to heaven.
Don't go to heaven. Whatever you do. And then luckily, some genius started burning Joss paper and started sending stuff up here. And then we got this.
Luckily, some genius back on Earth got the idea to pay their respects by burning stuff to send it up here. Right?
Yeah.
And then they turn a street as vendors galore. Everything that gets sent up from Earth can be yours for the right price. And if you want money, there's two ways. You earn it or they burn it.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So then now that they go to the bank?
I feel like there you can essentially, I feel like that's kind of like, it feels like you want to get to the end. It feels like.
Well, we need to explain that you guys haven't been burning me any money.
Yeah, you go to the bank and she goes to the teller. Anything for my no good grandchildren?
Yeah, that's true. Yes, because that's how I was trying to think of how they're not on the, and that could be, yes, as they walk out of the bank, she hops on. He's like, Grandma, I'm not going to fucking work for you. And then that's when she does the.
They pull up to the bank and go in, and then they're at the teller.
Anything for my no good family. And they hand him a couple quarters. He's like,
It's your brother of yours, the only one who ever remembers me.
Unfortunately, he's poor.
Too bad he's poor.
Too bad he's poor.
So this has got to make us to the end of the week. She flips him a coin.
Yeah. Well,
I'll stake you until you get up on your feet.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, does she hands him? She hands him a stack of bills and then takes a bunch back. She's like, for rent.
Yeah, for rent.
She like licks her finger and she's like flipping through the cash.
I'm not giving you that. That's a loan. 20% interest, by the way. So let's go get you a moped.
Yeah.
It's like, Grandma, I'm not fucking working for you.
Oh, it'd be a fun detail is that when he comes back, like the first thing he does is he's going to send a bunch of money over to Grandma. And then when he goes back in again, she's like noticeably better. Like it's a better moped.
She has like a fleet of drivers now.
Yeah, it's just like every single time it's just like it's improved.
That's pretty
funny.
And he
comes back. So he's just like, okay.
Yes, he should definitely burn some stuff for her.
Like right away. If you knew Grandma was suffering out there, you'd be like, I better fucking go send some cash up, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's great because you can also see the cash. It also shows you that material goods do not make her any happier whatsoever.
Yeah.
Burns the TV for her, and she's just got it, and it's like she's already on to the next thing.
Yeah. It's like, you only got 3D TVs?
Yeah. It's
why like, didn't you I get me a 3D one? It's like, they're paper. I buy them down here. They don't tell me what they are. They're just made out of paper. It's like, you need to buy me the best TV.
I want that 4K.
Yeah, I already watched everything. I'm bored. I don't like TVs anymore.
You think TV up there will have all future shows and past and present? You know what I'm saying? Makes you think.
Yeah.
Maybe if there's that much television on in heaven, when I die, I can actually get a fucking gig. So she sort of dumps this box out and a couple coins come out with a little note that says, I love you, Grandma.
Yeah.
She
just tosses that note away like I do with Christmas cards.
Yeah. It's like, she's assuming he's working for her, right? Yeah. So it's like, Grandma. Okay. So like, anyway.
Oh, shit. This is good.
What?
He's definitely going to, as he starts sending money up there, her business does start booming and her delivery business becomes vital
to the heist.
And he ends up getting his grandma sent to hell.
Oh, shit. Because
she's implicit.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
She takes the fall.
Yeah. Oh,
like
my God.
Like he comes back and she's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Dude, that's gnarly.
I like that this movie's becoming like a story about like, hey, don't forget your ancestors, which is like heartwarming.
Bless that brother of yours. The only one who bums ever sends me money to it. He's taking that vow of poverty. He crumples the note, starts flipping their cash. Now, since you never started a family or made any friends, you can be a little cash poor up here until business picks up. But don't worry, Grandma's going to take care of you. And then so she hands him half the stack, right?
Yeah.
Minus expenses, minus the moped deposit, minus rent, minus food, minus uniform, minus embroidery on the uniform. Minus administrative fee.
Yeah.
What size are you, Grandma? I'm not going to do this. Don't worry. Don't feel bad about it. This isn't a charity. This is a loan.
Yeah.
You'll pay me back.
He's like, isn't usury one of the sins, Grandma?
No, these are the three rules. And then she points. And then he's like, cool.
Wait, isn't there a law against extortion in heaven? It's like, or whatever.
No, yeah.
I don't think we need the rules
now. No,
right.
We don't.
Grandma, listen, all due respect, but slinging China Hainan chicken all over town for the next 10 million years ain't going to work for me. And I work for myself. Got it? Well, you got two options. You either make it work up here or it's like the, like, it's like, it would essentially be like, look, you don't have to work. You can go do this, right?
Yeah.
Or
you can try to reach enlightenment and get out of here. How long does
And then he can say, how long does that take?
I've never seen anybody do it.
I've never seen it happen.
Call me when you figure that out.
I've never seen him once since I've been up here.
But I don't know. Maybe he'll get lucky or something.
I don't know. Maybe you truly have the Buddha nature gin.
And she drives off. Yeah.
Or do you want to fucking get to work and make some paper?
Yeah. Are you going to make some fucking paper with Graham?
And then, yes, he looks back and forth between her and the Enlightenment Park.
The Enlightenment Park should have like the monks doing dumb shit. Like there's some meditating, there's one guy's just like trying to balance on one foot. You're like, what is he doing? It's just like goofy.
Yeah. She hops on her moped and guns the engine. Jin looks at the monks, then back to his grandma, then lets out a long, weary sigh.
A long,
cut
weary.
To working montage, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds like we got ourselves a little bit of a scene here.
All right. After the break, that scene.
Let's clean it up.
Dig it, baby.
Yeah. Not enough sex butler robots, though.
Hello there, ghouls and gals. It is I, April Wolf. I'm here to take you through the twisty, scary, heart-pounding world of genre cinema on the exhilarating program known as Switchblade Sisters. The concept is simple. I invite a female filmmaker on each week, and we discuss their favorite genre film. Listen in closely to hear past guests like The Babadook director, Jennifer Kent, Winter's Bone director, Deborah Granick, and so many others every Thursday on MaximumFun.org. Tune in if you dare.
It's actually a very thought-provoking show that deeply explores the craft and philosophy behind the filmmaking process while also examining film through the lens of the female gaze. So, like, you should listen.
Switchblade Sisters.
Exterior, Heaven Streets, day. Grandma zooms through a busy street as Jin clings on behind her. Jin looks around, taking in the sights of the city.
Don't take this the wrong way, but I'm really glad you're here. With you and me both making deliveries, we can double our profits.
Profits? I thought this was heaven. What do you need money for?
Grandma gives a wry chuckle.
What do you not need it for, huh? Food? Rent? Entertainment? I'm saving up for a big flat-screen TV. I want my Ashton Kutcher life-size. I want to touch him.
Exterior, fancy townhome, day. Grandma hands a to-go bag of Hainan chicken to a sharply dressed snob standing in the doorway of his fancy townhome. We hear the noise of an elegant cocktail party in the background. The man chucks a handful of coins at Grandma and shuts the door in her face. Grandma counts her coins as she walks back towards Jin, sitting on the moped, staring in disbelief.
I gotta admit, this isn't exactly what I was expecting. I thought it'd be more like...
Grandma revs the engine and they take off once more down the street.
Like what?
Jin spots something on the side of a passing building.
Like that.
Grandma looks up. Jin points to a huge mural depicting a tranquil scene of paradise. Dozens of people in simple robes in a wide, serene meadow, each resting under a tree, sitting on a rock and staring out at a beautiful pond. Grandma scoffs.
It used to be. Well, back in the day, all this place was a tree to sit under, a rock to sit on, and a pond to stare at. Luckily, some genius back on Earth got the idea to pay their respects by burning stuff to send it up here, and that's how we got all this.
Grandma hangs a turn onto Market Street. Jin's eyes go wide. Exterior Market Street, day. The moped drives down a bustling street market with stores selling everything and anything. Grandma weaves the moped through a throng of people hawking and haggling over cell phones, Maseratis, priceless art, and fancy clothes from every era of history.
Everything that gets sent up from Earth can be yours for the right price. If you want money, there's only two ways to get it. Either you earn it or they burn it.
Grandma parks her moped in front of a large, imposing building that looks like an ancient Chinese palace. The sign out front reads, Celestial Bank of Heaven. Grandma hops off the moped. Jin follows her up the steps towards the bank, giving a wary glance to an angelic security guard along the way. Interior Bank of Heaven, day. Inside, the temple resembles a bustling modern bank. Grandma and Jin step up to a teller's window. A cheery angel sits on the other side.
Anything for my ungrateful family?
The teller peers at her computer screen, fingers flying over a keyboard.
Let's see. Yes, there was a deposit last week.
She punches a button and whoosh! A small canister arrives at the window through an elaborate pneumatic tube system. Grandma pops open the canister and empties its contents into her hand. A measly handful of gold coins tumbles out, along with a note. The note reads, Love you, Grandma, Ken. Grandma sighs as she looks at the note, then holds it up to Jin.
Well, bless that brother of yours. He's the only one of you bums who ever sends me money. Too bad he's taking that vow of poverty.
Grandma crumples the note and heads for the door. Exterior Bank of Heaven, day. Grandma stands on the steps, counting her coins. Jin glances around at the other people exiting the bank. Rich folks in fancy clothes haul wheelbarrows full of gold into their waiting luxury cars. A pang of resentment shoots across Jin's face.
Now, since you never started a family or made any friends, you're going to be a little cash poor up here until our business picks up. But don't worry, Grandma's got your back.
She takes half her coins and puts them in Jin's hand. But before he can pocket them, she starts taking coins away.
Minus room and board, minus moped deposit, minus delivery uniform, minus delivery uniform embroidery. And what size jumpsuit you wear?
Jin looks down at his palm, one lousy gold coin left. He lets out an impatient sigh.
Grandma, I'm not gonna...
Don't worry. This isn't a charity, it's a loan. You're gonna pay me back with interest. So let's get to work. The lunch rush is coming up.
She hops back onto her moped and fires it up. Jin lingers behind.
Hey, all due respect, Grandma, but slinging Hainan chicken all over town for the next 10 million years isn't my idea of paradise.
Well, kid, you got two options. Either you join the rat race and carve out a little piece of eternity for yourself, or you can join the wannabe Buddhas in the park and try to reach enlightenment.
She nods over to a nearby park. The scene resembles the mural we saw earlier. People in simple robes sitting on rocks under trees staring out at little ponds.
They say that if you figure it out, you ascend to a higher plane of existence filled with emotions, a million times more powerful than love.
Jin studies the wannabe Buddhas with a skeptical glance. Many meditate in silence, but others perform all manner of ritual, balancing on one foot, bathing in the pond, dancing, hanging upside down from the tree, anything and everything to unlock the secrets of the universe.
How long does that usually take?
Beats the heck out of me. I haven't seen it once since I got here. But hey, maybe you'll be the one to figure it out. Think you've got the Buddha nature, Jin? Or do you want to get to work and make that paper?
She hops onto her moped and guns the engine. Jin looks at the monks, then back to his grandma, then lets out a long, weary sigh. He flips the coin in the air, then snatches it and stuffs it in his pocket. Cut to working montage.
Working.
So I was going to say, as I wrote that last line, it actually felt to me like that would be a pretty snappy cut to him coming back to life.
Yeah, I think we probably could do that.
Do you know what I mean?
I can see that.
Rather than now we do a whole, like, I feel like between the rich people and her delivering them, like, he gets a pretty good look at it.
I think we've sold that it's going to suck here.
Okay, so it feels like, yeah, he's, and then it's a nice cut on the coin, too. Like, he flips the coin, he's about to grab it, and then right as he grabs it, he bolts upright in bed, and then he opens his hand and the coin's gone.
It was fun, too.
Which is another way to establish that the coin can't come back, and then he sees it later, and it's like, what the fuck?
Anyway, so also it's a fun thing you could do where it's like, he's almost like, is he flipping the coin to figure out what he's gonna do a little bit, you know, let's just see, and then he's out before that even happens, before fate can decide.
Well, cool. That'll mean that when we next week when we do a scene, we won't have to be in heaven again.
Oh, thank God!
Get us out of this metaphysical existence.
I was about to say, maybe it's not really about a hyacinth. Just now, it's just like a fun like comedy between this guy and his grandma in heaven. That's not different. Heaven. Yeah.
Cool. I like that scene a lot. It's really fun.
Yeah, it covers quite a bit of expository ground. And we not once did someone says, Now, as you know,
007.
As you know, 007.
And no one had to say in English, please.
In Chinese, please.
In Mandarin, please. Do they have? I've never seen that joke in a movie other than an American movie.
That's true. It's like, is there some French film? It's like,
you know, although I will say, I think it's a particularly American mindset that leads you to indignantly ask someone to dumb it down for you, as if the problem is they know too much as opposed to you not knowing enough.
That's a good point.
Right? It feels like a pretty macho American exceptionalism thing to not apologize for not knowing what the fuck they're talking about and get mad at them for you not being able to understand.
Condescendingly asking you to dumb it down for you is like the most that is America.
That's the American way.
American dream, baby.
All right. Well, cool. On that note,
any finart this week?
We did have finart.
We got a primo piece of finart this week from Penichillin on Twitter, our good friend Nikki, who tweeted a very fun, very stylish Heaven Heist poster with the what I'm assuming is the new tagline of the movie, which is check your boners at the door. Welcome to heaven, check your boner at the door, which is a quote from I think last week's episode.
I did more when it was plural.
Check your boners.
I don't know what that means, but
you came in with multiple boners.
So thanks very much to Nikki
Nikki.
And I think that'll do it for us this week.
Thanks so much, everybody, for hanging around and listening to us pontificate on some pretty heavy philosophical and theological stuff.
Where do you, the Story Break audience, stand on the is reincarnation pretty much just the same thing as death argument?
God. You can chime in on that debate on our Twitter, RJ Story Break, on our Facebook group, bit.ly/RJ Story Break, the new subreddit, which I haven't contributed yet because I've been traveling, but I'm going to get on that this week, r/Heaven Heist. Thank you, as always, to our network, Maximum Fun, for having us on their excellent podcast network. Go head over to MaximumFun.org to take a look at all the other great audio entertainment that you're either already familiar with or missing out on. Check it out, MaximumFun.org. That's going to do it for us this week. Another scene. How many pages is this one?
Three.
This is a three-pager, but it's Google Docs three-pagers. I don't know what that actually turns
into. Yeah, I'll
drop
it into the script. And
we'll find
see.
Out. Yeah, but a thick scene there. Quite a bit of exposition that we got through. So good
it's
work.
It's a thick scene. We need expo.
We need expo. good work, Story Boys. Until next week, my name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
And my name is Matt Arnold. Let's get some lunch.
Unless you wish you could trade in your own family for the Pearsons, Inside Pop is definitely not for you.
Sean, that's a little extreme and also not quite true.
Okay, Amita, how about Inside Pop is the podcast for people who love and appreciate the best pop culture has to offer?
Oh, much better.
In every episode, we interview the people who create the culture you crave.
Past interviews include the production designer for Fargo and Tony DeCray from the DreamWorks Story Department.
You'll also get the very best pop culture recommendations in our Big Sell segment.
Plus, the opinions of two TV producers who are pop culture obsessives and actually do wish Sterling K. Brown was our cousin.
Kissing cousins, that is.
Listen to Insight Pop every other Wednesday on the Maximum Fun Podcast Network.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.